Hello, and welcome to the Sea Control Podcast. I'm Nathan Miller. Today, Dr. Ed Salo speaks with Stephen DeSashin, a PhD candidate at Texas A&M University studying nautical archaeology. DeSashin led a team in building the first trireme-sized naval ram in 1,500 years. This episode was edited and produced by David Suhita. SimSec is looking for a volunteer to join our technical team and support our web operations. We're looking for someone with a background in WordPress implementation and support, as well as knowledge in web hosting and networking. Some knowledge of identity management and security operations is also helpful. Please reach out to content@simsec.org to share your background and discuss. I'd like to pause here to highlight our local chapters. Whether you're in South Korea, Egypt, Singapore, France, New York, India, or the Caribbean, chances are there's a SimSec local chapter near you. You can find a full listing of local chapters and contact information on our website at simsec.org. Finally, I want to take the opportunity to recommend our partners in the SimSec podcast network, the Bilge Pumps. You can find Alex, Jamie, Drac, and a pile of Iron Brew bottles wherever you download your podcasts. And with that, Kimber's Men.
You're listening to Sea Control, hosted by the Center for International Maritime Security.
And welcome to Sea Control. My name is Ed Salo, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with, well, a different kind of guest. We're going to be talking about archaeology today and naval archaeology. Today, our guest is Stephen DeSashin. Mm-hmm. Who is a, I guess you're a graduate student at Texas A&M?
That's correct. Yep, PhD student.
All right. And you're going to be talking about a project you guys worked on. You worked on designing and building a naval ram.
That is correct. Yeah. Original naval ram.
So before we get to the cool aspect, which I'm not saying you're not cool, but let's talk a little about you and the members of your team. Tell us a little about yourself.
For the project TAMU, there were three project contributors, main contributors, myself, Stephen DeSashin, Dr. Christopher Dostal, and then Glenn Greco. My name is Stephen DeSashin. I'm a nautical archaeology PhD student at Texas A&M University. I study mainly Greco-Roman maritime history and archaeology, specializing in naval rams, naval warfare. I also study sex and gender in antiquity as it applies to navies, ancient navies, and naval monuments. Let's see, I attended the American School of Classical Studies at Athens in 2018 and also the American Academy of Rome in 2022. And I currently run communications for RPM Nautical Foundation, which conducts underwater archaeological surveys at the Battle of the Egede Island site in western Sicily. So that's just a little background about myself. The other two contributors, again, are Dr. Dostal and Glenn Greco. Dr. Dostal is the director of the Conservation Research Laboratory, the Analytical Archaeology Laboratory, and the Center for Maritime Archaeology and Conservation, as well as being an assistant professor at Texas A&M University in the Anthropology Department. And then our other contributor, Glenn Greco, is the director of the CMAC Ship Model Laboratory at Texas A&M, and he's arguably the best shipbuilder model alive. We're a good team.
Question, how did you come up with this project? And what got you interested, I guess, going back your, you know, kind of your origin story? How did you get into this form of archaeology or archaeology in general?
How did I get to, you know, building the first naval ram in like 1,500 years? It really starts with a book called The Age of Titans, The Rise and Fall of the Great Hellenistic Navies, written by Dr. William M. Murray. The book covered aspects of Hellenistic naval warfare, the massive warships built by the successors of Alexander the Great, and more importantly, it covered naval rams. So my fascination with this book led me to apply to the MA program at the University of South Florida, where I got to work with Dr. Murray. But it wasn't until I was actually in his class and experienced Dr. Murray's like over-enthusiasm about naval rams that I also began to have this passion to study naval rams. And it became my obsession to know everything about naval rams. So that led me to apply to the PhD program in nautical archaeology at Texas A&M. Where I continue to study ancient naval warfare and naval rams. How do we actually get to the creation of this naval ram? In the fall of 2019, I was invited by James Gould, who is the chairman of RPM Nautical Foundation that was founded by George Robb Jr., to be part of the organization and participate in the Battle of the Agadir Islands project. So in essence, the Battle of the Agadir Islands project is a collaborative effort between the Soprintendenza del Mare of Sicily, RPM Nautical Foundation, and the Society for Documentation of Submerged Sites. The Agadir battle site in Western Sicily is the only known ancient naval battle ever discovered thus far. Hopefully we discover more, but it's the only one so far. The project has resulted in the recovery of 26 Roman and Carthaginian naval rams, as well as a variety of associated artifacts that came from the battle that occurred on March 10th, 241 BCE. I was going to be a part of that project and go during the summer of 2020, but unfortunately, COVID struck, right? And no one could go do any archaeological field work, which was really sad. So during the spring of 2021, the following year, I was in a class called the Conservation of Archaeological Resources, led by Dr. Christopher Dostal. And as I sat there in the class thinking about casting techniques and different ways to conserve metals, you know, I really thought to myself, if I can't see any naval rams due to COVID, you know, what if I just make my own? Right? It's a crazy idea. And I thought it through for a little bit, but then I was like, you know what, let me just pitch my insane idea to Dr. Dostal and see what he says. I had no proposal when I first came to him, no plan on how we'd do it. But without hesitation, he was like, let's do it. You got it. You can achieve it. We could definitely do this here at Texas A&M. This is definitely the perfect place to do it. So almost after 2 years, myself, Dr. Dostal, and Glenn Greco were able to achieve this with the help of the Pyrology Foundry in Bastrop, Texas. So we actually accomplished making the first trireme-sized naval ram in over 1,500 years based on ancient methods.
Going back a little bit, mm-hmm. What exactly is a naval ram, and kind of how was it used in ancient times?
Perfect question. So in essence, a naval ram was a penetrating weapon, right? It was placed at the bow of an ancient warship near the waterline. Rams were used in both offensive and defensive naval maneuvers to strike or ram other warships to cause damage that could lead to an enemy ship being sunk, swamped, or completely destroyed. The ram likely developed from an extension of the timbers that made up the bow of earlier warships. So the combination of this protrusion, sometimes called a forefoot or a cutwater, and a bronze covering became the basis for naval rams in antiquity. By the mid-6th to early 5th centuries BCE, the ram had developed to its so-called final form, referred to in modern times as the three-bladed waterline ram. That's the type of ram that we created at Texas A&M. So the three-bladed waterline rams are characterized by their three fin profiles that were actually used to split and puncture enemy warship hulls that were held together by pegged mortise and tenon joinery. So eventually, three-bladed waterline rams, like those built during the Hellenistic and later Roman Republican eras, were used to break through harbor siege defenses and even ram enemy ships, not just on the sides or in the back, but head-on and striking the frontal face of a warship or directly ram to ram. So naval warfare becomes highly intense, and rams become produced in excess during the late Hellenistic and later Roman Republican eras. The ram, it was a dominant naval weapon for almost 1,000 years, right? This is kind of a rare thing to have such an important weapon be dominant for almost 1,000 years. It begins at some point in, you know, the 500s BCE and ends around somewhere in the 500s CE, right? So the decline of the naval ram probably began at the Battle of Actium that we all know, the famous Battle of Actium between Mark Antony and Cleopatra against Octavian. So this engagement was the last great battle of antiquity where we saw the use of ramming tactics, the deployment of massive warships, and the use of large Hellenistic-style naval rams. So after the Battle of Actium, the Romans controlled basically the entire Mediterranean basin with no direct naval competitors left to contest their control of the seas. So as the Roman Navy changed its purpose from fighting other navies to protecting grain ships and patrolling the Rhine and Danube rivers, the use of the naval ram steadily declined. So at least by the 3rd and into the 5th century CE, the Roman Navy ceased to exist, with only the eastern part of the Roman Empire fielding a very ineffective fleet, actually. So building rams and warships became costly, they became time-consuming, and the techniques of building ships actually changed, which affect the use of the ram. So the historian Procopius, which some people know, is the last one to directly mention the ancient Greek word for the naval ram, which is embolos, right? Embolos means to throw into. He mentions the last use of the naval ram in the Battle of Santa Gallica, which occurred in 551 CE. However, it is unclear if these are like the rams from antiquity, the three-bladed waterline rams, we don't know really know what he's referring to. So when I say we casted the first ram in 1,500 years, I'm talking about that is the likely endpoint of the ram at the Battle of Senegalpa in 551.
Yeah, I'm a historian. Full disclosure, I worked for a cultural resources management firm. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to doing research with archaeologists. Did some help with some underwater and maritime projects. But what kind of research did you do before you started producing this?
You know, I took a look at textual evidence, including Thucydides, Herodotus, Diodorus, just reading about naval rams, how they're used, trying to get a feel for how they look in the text, but mostly having pictures and access to actual authentic naval rams was the most important thing. There's around 31 archaeologically attested naval rams that we have from antiquity. 26 of them come from the Battle of the Egede Islands, but most of them are these three-bladed waterline rams that we discussed. You know, the research part of the project was not too difficult, but it's rare to have these rams. And before the Egede battle site, we barely had these rams. We had the famous Athlete ram, which was found in the 1980s, which is almost 1,000 pounds of bronze. So it's a big ram. It's not a trireme size ram. It's probably a warship ram that fits on a polyreme warship, which is any warship bigger than a trireme. You know, while it's known that the ancients used, you know, the lost wax casting method to produce these large objects, the intricate details of the process as it relates to ram production is actually highly debatable. Several bronze rams found across the Mediterranean with their intact bow timbers showed that the ram served as an integral part of warship construction and really a complex naval weapon system. So based on ancient rams, it has been argued that they were cast in bronze, right, to the highest standards using the beeswax model in the direct lost wax casting method. The lost wax casting method is a method where molten bronze is poured into a mold that has been created by means of a wax model. In the direct lost wax casting method, the original wax model is lost, and therefore only one model can be created from one beeswax mold. So each ram, really, built in antiquity, was completely unique to the warship it was placed on and fit tightly around the bow timbers to be an effective weapon. So based on textual, iconographic, and archaeological information, I used this to create my ram and to recreate a trireme-sized naval ram based on a three-step process, right? So the project consisted of creating a false bow, creating a beeswax model, and then having it lost wax casted. So a bunch of research went behind it. And the real purpose of this experimental reconstruction was to better understand the time, manpower, and materials needed to create ancient rams, which can inform us really about the economic, social, and political apparatuses of many ancient navies.
Was that research difficult since we were going through the COVID period, or was the reports easy to gain?
It's easy to find the ancient sources online, right? You have Perseus and things of that nature. And the library at Texas A&M was semi-open through COVID. So I had access to books and stuff like that. But it really helped to see pictures of these rams that were brought up by RPM at the Egede Islands, which is shared on their website. So seeing them, I had a reference point. I never, before I built this ram, I had never seen a naval ram in person. It wasn't until after I built the ram this summer that I saw at least 28 naval rams out of the 31.
Wow. You did the research, got everything. And tell us a little about the production of the ram.
The three-bladed waterline ram that was built at Texas A&M and cast at the Pyrology Foundry in Bastrop, Texas, we call it the Desashin ram, right? It's named after myself because I put in the most work. I did a lot of work to it. So, I claimed it as mine, which is, I think everyone's fine with. But it's an original design, right? This is unlike any ram that we have from the ancient world. Textual, archaeological, and iconographic evidence was used to inspire its overall construction, right? But it's an entirely original design. So like I said, more than 31 naval rams survived from antiquity, many of which are considered this style, like this three-bladed waterline ram. They include like those at Egede, right? The 26 at Egede, the Athlete, Aquadrone, Bremerhaven, Bologna, and Piraeus rams. These are all three-bladed waterline rams. And each one of these really provided a base for how to construct this experimental naval ram. The first step of the project was actually to construct a trireme-sized ramming bow to serve as the beeswax model's core. Right, so I had to build the front of a warship before I could start anything. So the bow that I constructed was based on a culmination of archaeologically attested Raman bows such as those found in the Aquadrone, Athlete, and Egedy rams. So in those three rams, we have remains of warships that I used as an example to build my own ramming bow. And this ramming bow consisted of six major timbers, the ramming timber, the port and starboard whales, the keel, the chalk, and also the stem. So that was the first part, right? Just building this wooden section, this ramming false bow, took a few months to actually build. We planed everything by hand. Glenn Greco helped me every step of the way there because he's the boat builder model. He, you know, thinks in shapes, so he really knows how to work a bow together. But the second step of the project, right, involved the use of beeswax to fashion a model of a trireme size ram onto the false bow itself. And the beeswax model was made using various ancient methods, which include we had to coat the bow in pitch, right, to actually hold the wax to the surface of the bow, because if you put beeswax directly onto wood, it permeates the wood and gets stuck. So probably what they did in antiquity is put pitch on the bow. So I did various pitch experiments, pine resin experiments, seeing which one would work, kiln burn pitch, horse pitch, right, baseball pitch, right, these things that, you know, people use to like stick them basically to see, you know, what could hold the wax, but also when I'm done could release it. But building the model, you know, we melted the beeswax into blocks, into sheets, into semi-hot half blocks using pre-made molds, and then mostly using handmade sheets for the model's body, fins, and then the inscriptions that are on it. But each section was sculpted to a desired thickness and smoothed together using different sculpting tools that would have been used in antiquity. So I tried to stay as true to the ancient boat builders, as true to the ancient ram creators as possible. Then, of course, the last step of the project was to cast the beeswax model, which took place at Pyrology in Bastrop, Texas. The foundry used a similar method to the one used in antiquity to cast the model, right? So several sprues and channels were added to the beeswax model to allow the molten bronze to be poured in for casting. The beeswax model was placed in a casting slurry, right, which created a protective shell around the model. This shell was then heated to melt the beeswax out of the model, which left an empty shell behind with the sprues and channels still intact. The molten bronze was then poured into the shell, filling the areas where the beeswax once was. Therefore, the bronze was then allowed to cool, and then the shell was broken open, which left behind an exact replica of the beeswax model in the bronze behind. Pretty cool process.
Yeah. What is next for the ram? You guys going to use it, go out there and
so,
take out another ship or something? I would.
I'd love to see that. So the project has already informed us about the complexity of building, you know, such a unique ancient weapon, including how much beeswax how to work the beeswax, how much beeswax it was needed to make an average size trireme ram, and the manpower needed to do so, as well as the working hours needed to finish this job. Right, it didn't take as long as it did in antiquity. It took me almost 2 years to do this, but I logged every hour to try to figure out how much working time there is. So the next step for the ram itself, right, the bronze ram that we have at Texas A&M, is to weigh it, get the official weight so we know how much it actually weighs. It probably weighs almost 400 pounds, which is within the ballpark of what we have from the archaeological record. 3D scan it so I can put it up on Sketchfab and people can look at it, et cetera, and then X-ray it to compare it to other naval rams from the ancient world. Once those steps are finished, we plan to actually place it back on the bow to see if it fits on the false bow that we built for it, which would be interesting. We have to check if there's any shrinkage that occurred during the casting process. So hopefully it didn't shrink at all and it'll fit back on. But, you know, many of my colleagues and numerous people following the project would like our team to test it, like you said, against replica ships. Someone said I should hit it with pig carcasses and just other objects. But we're still trying to figure out what we should do next with the naval ram. Maybe we'll test it. Maybe we won't, because like I said, we only had one shot to build it. The beeswax model, once it's gone, it's gone. So I can't really build another one if it breaks. And I don't know if I'm ready to part ways with it just yet.
What's your next project for you all?
I think right now, just getting, you know, the weights, the scans, the official measurements, the x-rays of the naval ram, getting that done, coming together to write the publication that will hopefully come from this and finish that off. And then, you know, down the line, if, you know, we can get a grant or we're convinced that ramming a ship or ramming pig carcasses, ramming any other object would be useful, we might do that as well. So jury's still out on the ramming thing, but the RAM was just casted, right, a few weeks ago. So we're just finally getting our eyes on it to see what it can tell us more about the ancient RAMs as we find out more about it.
What else are you working on?
So like I said, I'm a PhD student, so I'm taking my preliminary exams next week, actually.
Good
but
luck.
I'm currently, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. But I'm currently working on my dissertation, which is called The Naval RAM History, Production, and Symbolism in the Greek and Roman Cultures. So I'm investigating the RAM significance in warfare, naval industry, gender discourses, and political iconography through multiple periods of antiquity. I aim to address how the RAM was not only a prolific weapon, which we talked about, but also a key cultural artifact for both the Greeks and Romans. I'm also working on the RAMs from the Battle of the Agadir Islands with RPM Nautical Foundation. So it's actually really exciting to see real RAMs and not reconstructions like my own. Real RAMs look a lot better. This mine's a little rough, first time going, but the Agadir RAMs that I get to work on are truly amazing pieces of bronze and cultural artifacts for at least the Romans and Carthaginians.
Is there anywhere that our listeners can follow you or on social media or related to this or just your research in general?
You know, if anyone's interested in keeping up the project or naval RAMs in general, you can find me at my website, which is just my name, stephendesashin.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter, which is at sdesashin, right? S-D-E-C-A-S-I-E-N, sdesashin. That's where you can find me if you want to. I post about RAMs all the time, so you might get tired of it, but that's my job.
It's pretty cool. Well, thank you for being on, and we'll put all that information in the show notes. And we look forward to maybe having you back on later when you guys decide what you're going to do with it. And maybe we can do some kind of get involved in there if you guys do use it. We get the video or something. Not that
important. Of course. I mean, that's, right. Thanks for having me. Yeah, this is great.
Thank you so much. See?